Prologue.
Murdoch Henry MacLean, in view of your youth and the jury's recommendation that you be treated mercifully, the old judge had said, emphasizing his words with an admonitory gesture of a bony forefinger, I shall commute the death sentence pronounced on you. You will instead be transported to the penal colony of New South Wales for the term of your natural life. And, he had added with derisive piety, may God have mercy on you. Seated in the jolting covered wagon, one of a row of fettered prisoners from Winchester Prison, Murdo MacLean recalled the scene in the courtroom with remembered bitterness. True, he had been given his life. He had not been topped like poor old Sepp Todd and Dicky Farmer, his two companions, in the ill-fated hold-up of the London mail coach. But for all that, his dark brows met in a resentful pucker. To what manner of life had he been condemned? Botany Bay, some of the other inmates of the jail had told him, was hell on earth for all who were sent out there as convicted felons. It would be different, of course, for his mother and Jessica and the two bairns. They had gone out with the 73rd Highlanders, and Colonel Lachlan Macquarie, who had been appointed governor of the colony 5 years ago. To the best of his knowledge, all four of them were still in Sydney, forced to accompany his brutal swine of a stepfather, Sergeant Major Duncan Campbell of the 73rd, after he himself had run away. He had it in mind to go out there and join them sooner or later, Murdo reflected, but not, God help him, as a lifer, a wretched convict in chains. The disgrace would break his mother's heart, no doubt of that. She had always been a proud woman, and he and Jessica had been brought up in accordance with her strict code of God-fearing honesty. She would be shocked and appalled if she knew that her only son had been tried and convicted of the crime of highway robbery. Murdo shifted uneasily in his narrow wooden seat. His career on the High Toby with Nick Vincent's boys had been rewarding, and he could not, for his part, regret having embarked on it. Nick had befriended him, given him a home and work, initially as his groom and horseminder at 5 shillings a week. Even that had been better than the miserably paid toil he had been forced to undertake when, as a boy of barely 15, he had fled from his stepfather's bullying into the icy cold of the Glasgow streets in midwinter.